Now, back to the Kevin Gorman Show on Trib Live Radio.
Well, here at the Trib, we're not just dedicated to bringing you high school sports, but breaking news for the Tribune Review and Trib Live Radio. And Jerry DePaula, our Pitt football beat writer, joins us now to talk about Pitt's new offensive coordinator, Matt Canada.
Maybe he'll stay around for more than 5 minutes, like the other guy didn't do. As one thing Pat Narduzzi said when Jim Chaney left for Georgia, that he wanted to hire a guy who was going to be around for more than one season. And it looked like that Chaney took the Pitt job just to be able to get a bridge from one SEC school to another, because you can't go from one to another.
Yeah.
There's some kind of conference rule. But Matt Canada has been at North Carolina State the last 3 years. He went there with Dave Doran. They were at Northern Illinois together, and he went there with Doran, but Doran fired him about a week ago, less than a week ago, actually. It was Sunday, I believe, and Narduzzi jumped on him right away. Now, Narduzzi worked with Canada at Northern Illinois in the 2000, 2001, and 2002 seasons when they were position coaches there. Narduzzi was linebackers coach and Canada coached running backs and quarterbacks. And, of course, he wanted a quarterbacks coach because that's what Chaney coached. He coached the quarterbacks. And the big thing there is that Thomas McVitie, Jr., the Cincinnati Molar quarterback who verbally committed to Pitt, really hasn't said anything about his commitment to Pitt other than his dad making some suggestions that he's going to be solid, he's going to stay. But he wanted to find out who the new offensive coordinator was going to be.
Yeah.
Now, with the dead period ending on Wednesday, the recruiting dead period heading on Wednesday, maybe Canada can go out to Cincinnati, sit down with the kid and his parents, and get a feel for him. And then McVitie's taking his official visit next weekend.
I don't want to underscore the hiring of Matt Canada, but let's hit on the point you just made, Jerry. The past 3 years, Pitt has either had committed or brought in a quarterback who then didn't stick with the program. Going back to Trayvon Chapman under
he actually came to spring practice.
Yeah, he enrolled early, and then he got in trouble,
right,
and he was dismissed from the program, which Pitt didn't really have a choice there because they basically dismissed their coach, Michael Haywood, for the same type of infraction.
Exactly.
And you can't have one standard for the coach and a different one for the players. But they also have lost recruits the last couple of years right before signing day. If you go back,
Wade Freebeck was committed to the Pitt. He ended up going to Vanderbilt when James Franklin took his quarterback, the McSorley kid, who played in the bowl game this past year for Penn State, took McSorley from Vanderbilt to Penn State. So Freebeck took his spot at Vanderbilt. And then when Paul Christ left, he had Alex Hornibrook, a kid from Pennsylvania out east, ready to go. And when Chris went to Wisconsin, he followed Chris to Wisconsin.
Yeah, so really where Pitt should have much better quarterback depth in the younger classes, they really only have, what, two guys?
Well, they have Ben DiNucci.
Who was a last-second recruit.
He
was the Pennsylvania Gatorade Player of the Year last year, so take nothing away from him. But he was committed to Penn prior to that.
And they have Adam Bertke, a kid from a small school in Ohio, who was a redshirt freshman this year. And so I guess McVitie, Bertke, and DiNucci will battle for the backup quarterback job. Of course, Chad Wojtek is transferring. So Pitt doesn't have a whole lot of quarterback depth, quality quarterback depth, at least guys who are really expected to do something off their high school careers. DiNucci, you know, was going to go to Penn. That was his biggest offer before Pitt stepped in. Now, Chaney, you know, recruited all these guys, and he recruited McVitie and had a really good relationship with McVitie, and he was a good upset, you know, when Chaney left. He sort of took the McVitie family by surprise. Now it's up to Matt Canada to step in and patch some of those holes and make things right again. Although Pat Narduzzi, and I wrote about this in my story that I wrote about McVitie on Christmas Day, Narduzzi has been in constant contact with the McVitie family to make sure they know that they still want him.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that not only do you have to deal with the recruiting aspect of it, but you also have to deal with Nate Peterman, who was the starting quarterback this past season, had played for Chaney and was recruited by Tennessee through Chaney. So
it's another problem.
He has to deal with having another.
He has to meet his new starting quarterback too, as well as the recruit. You know.
So I mean, you know, and then Pitt loses Tyler Boyd, which we were just talking about.
Kevin,
so
that's college football. That's what happens. Coaches go, players go. Yep. Pitt's had six kids transfer now, or decide to transfer since the end of the season. The season's only been over what, a week and a half, 2 weeks. You know, so six kids have already gone. Well, coach is already gone. The rest of the coaches are staying, though, which is kind of unusual.
Yeah.
At least so far. I mean, once signing day comes, a lot of coaches leave after signing day, too, so you never know. But it's a transient business and for players and for coaches. And, Pitt, this Matt Canada, he did a nice job at North Carolina State, and he got fired. couple of days ago. At least the third highest point total in school history this past year, 33.2 points per game, and he loses his job. So who knows?
Yeah, and the crazy thing is his quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, threw 43 touchdowns and 11 interceptions the past two seasons, was the team's MVP this year. So, you know, it's hard to kind of knock what Matt Canada did. Now, I didn't follow NC State closely. I'm not sure if you did. But
Brissett, I know, was a very good quarterback, and there was a lot of people talking about him as one of the best in the ACC before the season. And North Carolina State had a very mediocre season. Now, whether it was mostly defense, where a former Pitt coordinator is there, Dave Huxtable, former Pitt defensive coordinator, under Paul Chryst's first year, is now at NC State as defensive coordinator. Their defense suffered late in the season. They got clobbered in the bowl game, I believe, by Mississippi State. And you know, their team really didn't play all that well overall this past year, so maybe Dave Doran was looking to overhaul his staff a little bit and, you know, get some new
blood. Or maybe Dave Doran was told by somebody in the administration, here's who we want gone, you know, because you don't usually fire a guy that you came up through the system with. You know, these are guys,
well, that's
as you mentioned.
James Franklin did that when he fired his offensive coordinator this year.
Yeah.
He brought him from Vanderbilt.
But I think that was under pressure.
I think
there, somebody had to be blamed for Christian Hackenberg's failure to progress from his freshman to his junior seasons.
Yeah.
To come in as a guy who was the number one quarterback in the nation and leave as a guy who's a question mark whether he's a first round pick or even, you know, worthy of being drafted early. Because I from what I've watched of him, he isn't.
Doesn't look like
it. You know, he reminds me of a guy who has the tools but doesn't have the composure in the pocket that you want, the poise that you want from a quarterback. He seems to me to be a guy, when there's pressure on, he panics. And into his defense, the offensive line was terrible, and there was under a lot of pressure. But you want a guy to, you know, shows the willingness and the ability to stand in the pocket, stand tall, and deliver the passes. And he wasn't that guy.
And speaking of quarterbacks either regressing or progressing, making progress, Canada has to get Nathan Peterman off track a little bit, because Peterman did okay this year against the weak teams on Pitt's schedule, but when he started playing better teams and late in the season, he was throwing interceptions. You know,
let me put you on the spot here, Jerry. Given what you know now, the way things have turned out, would you have made that quarterback change had you know Jim Chaney was leaving, that he was leaving after one season? You're stuck with Nate Peterman and not having Chad Vojtěch. You're not going to have the two-headed quarterback position. Would you have made that change, given that you finished 8-5 and that the second half of the season wasn't nearly as promising as the first half?
Seeing both quarterbacks over the past two seasons, I believe, and I'm not a scout, I'm not an expert, I believe Peterman is the better quarterback.
Okay.
A little more pocket presence, you know, maybe a little bit of stronger arm. Doesn't move as well, but he moved okay. There were some games where he did move okay, you know. But you know, I would have made the decision. I think it's something that Chaney probably wanted to make initially when they probably watched Vojtěch. Because Vojtěch struggled for a good part of the 2014 season, at least half of it. And he played a little bit better in the second half of the 14 season. But he didn't show much in training camp, and Peterman was just better.
Well, you know, then that's the interesting thing to me, and I'm going to let you go, Jer, but you kind of wonder where all these high school All-Americans come from, because Chad Vojtěch was one, and he never looked that part as a Pitt quarterback.
But Chaney never recruited him. When he was at Tennessee, he recruited Peterman over Vojtěch.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yes, I mean, that's telling as well.
The in-state quarterback, you know, gets passed over for an out-of-state quarterback at Tennessee that year.
Yeah. So, well, hey, Jerry, I know you got to go. Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate having you on. And thanks for your insight on the Pitt football and the new offensive coordinator position. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Chris Harden is going to jump back on with me, and we're going to talk a little bit of high school basketball and some other things. You're listening to the Kevin Gorman Show on Triple Live Radio.
Looking for a sweeter way to start your day? Enjoy Dunkin' Donuts Chicken Apple Sausage Breakfast Sandwich. Juicy split chicken sausage seasoned with flavorful apple and spices on top of egg and cheese, all on a warm toasted English muffin. And to make you feel even better, it's all under 400 calories. It'll turn any good morning into a great morning. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.